everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst Stories podcast. I'm John Hino, your host for today's episode. And today, I'm thrilled to have Dan Oyakawa on the podcast. Now, Dan is married to Christine, and together they have two grown children, son Matthew and daughter Ashlyn. And Dan is an architect by trade. He works on sets for movies, television, and sound studios. He has been at Catalyst for over 5 years now, and both he and his wife, Christine, are involved in strike ministry as well. So with that, Dan Oyakawa, welcome to Catalyst Stories.
Thanks, John. It's my pleasure and honor to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm just so looking forward with great anticipation to having you on the podcast. And to me, the most difficult part about having you on was trying to decide what testimonies to have you talk about, as you have many, many amazing stories. So just couldn't wait to have you. But to start, I thought, Dan, that you could take us through back through the days of your youth when you first started playing sports. So how and when did you first get into sports?
Gosh, it was probably just in my neighborhood. Yeah. I grew up in Glendale. And, there's a bunch of kids in our block and we played football and some baseball and stuff, just neighborhood street ball.
Yeah. And I remember we were having this discussion because I used to love playing catch with my dad so I can put the baseball gear on, you know, like the catcher's mask and the chest protector and the special catcher's mask. And you had similar, you like putting the gear on too.
Right. Right. Oh, absolutely. I'm a total gearhead. And so I love putting gear on. Yeah. I just had that opportunity to play catcher, and that was, I thought was pretty awesome.
Yeah. And you also love football, because I remember you said you like putting the shoulder pads on, and that mm-hmm. was like a big thrill for you too, right?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I just couldn't wait to just put the gear on, the helmet and everything, the pads.
Yeah. Now, when you were in junior high school, I think you said about eighth grade, a friend of yours from your church tried to convince you to try out for the church's baseball team. And so wondered if you can talk about that conversation and what happened.
Sure. Actually, if I can go back just a little bit.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Like in seventh and eighth grade, I played football, junior high school football.
Yeah.
Flag football. And I loved it. I played offense and defense and just loved just getting in there and just messing things up. Uh-huh. And then I played a little bit of Sayo baseball,
okay.
Church baseball. And then by the eighth grade, or getting into the ninth grade, my last year in junior high school, I was kind of tired of baseball, and I wanted to focus in on football, because in the ninth grade, the last year of junior high school, you get to put the pads on. And so that's what I was really looking forward to doing.
Yeah, and I think you said before that it was just flag football.
Exactly, oh, yeah. Exactly, yeah. Yeah. And then my friend from church, he says, oh, you know, come on out for baseball, but kind of just, you know, just hounding me. Just, he went to the same school as I did. And so he was constantly on me. Just, oh, you know, we're short people, you know, we need a catcher. And so, you know, you could play catcher, you could put gear on, you love gear, right?
Yeah.
And so he's, you know, and finally just to get him off my back, I just said, okay, I'll play baseball, but this will be my last year. I'm not going to play anymore.
Yeah.
And so I did. I played, I went out and, you know, it was just the season hasn't even started. And then, the very first day of practice, I was there and my coach goes, you know, gear up and then I'll warm you up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the coach, he was a member of the church also. And, you know, he goes, he didn't tell me to put my mask on. And, you know, typically when I played baseball, I wouldn't wear my mask anyways. He was starting to throw, actually, right from the beginning, he started throwing really fast. He's throwing stingers. And for those who don't know what stingers are, it's when a pitch or when someone throws a ball really fast, and it hits your mitt, and it hits it so hard that it hurts your hand. That's what's called a stinger. And so he was throwing stingers at me. And then I thought, okay, after this next pitch, I'm going to call a timeout and go get my mask because this is coming in way too hot for me. Yeah. And then that next pitch, I remember I was tracking it and it was going down. And so I was tracking I put my mitt down and then I lost it. I couldn't see it because of my mitt.
Yeah.
And then the next thing I saw was the ball on top of my mitt, or it was going over my mitt. And I remember I was able to deflect it, just a little bit. And then I remember seeing the red threads. I mean, it's like, to this day I can picture those red threads.
Yeah, so vivid. Yeah.
Right. And then it hit me square in the eye. And I saw this big blue five-pointed star, and then all these little stars, just bursting behind it. And then I hit the ground and I was just rolling around in the ground in just extreme pain. It hurt really, really bad. And then fortunately my mom was there.
She must've been terrified.
Yeah. Exactly. Before, I would just ride my bike to practice, but this time she took me to practice and then, she put me in the car and she didn't drive freeways. And so, we were like, deep in Garden Grove and we live in Orange, which is quite a ways away if you're taking streets.
Yeah.
And I remember she's driving me to the hospital and she got lost and she pulled over to a gas station asking for direction. And I'm in the back and I'm just like rolling around because it hurt so bad. And I'm yelling at her, like, just hurry up, just get me to the hospital. And I think she only knew of the hospital that was near our house, which was UCI Medical Center. Mm-hmm. And then, so we drove all the way back to UCI and, we got there and then they wheeled me in and stuff. And they discovered that, I had a fractured orbit, the bone surrounding the eye that was fractured. And then they discovered that, I had, central optic nerve damage. So that the center nerve of my eye was damaged because of the impact. And when they discovered that, that was actually a couple of days after, the injury because they had to let the bleeding subside.
Oh,
because wow. I was in the hospital for like 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Because of just the internal bleeding and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then, they said, oh, you have, it looks like you have central optic nerve damage, which meant that I'm blind now in that eye. And so, I was thinking about it today, like, wow, my coach never offered to drive me to the hospital or, lead my mom to the hospital.
Right. Right.
Because she got lost.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And and then, my father, well, let me back up. Like that coach never, visited me in the hospital, never said, I'm sorry, never checked up on me, which really upset my father. My father was really angry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my mom never said anything, but my dad definitely said he was very angry with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, because he was angry, I carried that anger too. Mm, And I thought, wow, he never visited me or even asked me, how you doing?
How you doing? Yeah.
Yeah.
Check up on you.
Right. Exactly. He didn't check up on me or anything.
No apology for.
Definitely no apology. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's a member of at the church I went to, I went back to church a few weeks, maybe a few months later after I felt better. and, you know, was active in the church. And every once did he ever come to me and talk to me.
Yeah. And you know, when I think of a coach, I think the coach is supposed to keep their players safe.
Right.
And I'm also wondering if it's on your mind, like, why didn't he recommend or almost demand that you put your mask on before he started throwing you these stingers?
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. You know, because I was thinking about that too, as an adult.
Yeah.
Number one, I wouldn't be throwing that hard to a kid.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's just, I just wouldn't do that because I know how strong I can throw things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, I wouldn't throw it at somebody you know, on purpose like that.
Yeah. I mean, let alone you don't have your mask on.
Right. Right. No. Right.
Now, I'm not meaning to add insult to injury, but you got some news after you had a question for the doctor after you found out what had happened. And I wonder if you can talk about what that question was and what the response from the doctor was.
Sure. Like I said before, I wanted to play football. I wanted to play tackle football.
Yeah.
And that was on my mind at that time when I was resting in the hospital. And I forgot to add that my eyes were bandaged from the moment I was admitted to the hospital because of the internal bleeding, and they didn't want my eyes to move. If they bandaged one eye and the other eye was open, if that good eye or the eye that can see starts looking around, the other eye will track also.
Because they're
connected, right? And so they didn't want that to happen, so they bandaged both eyes. So I was. You know, I couldn't see for 2 weeks. And so I asked the doctor, can I play football? You know, the season's going to start pretty soon. Can I play football? And he says, no, you can't play football anymore because any kind of jarring to the head can start that internal bleeding again. Yeah. And we don't want that to happen because you can go blind because of that.
Yeah.
And so
that had to be crushing when you heard that statement, you will not play football again.
Exactly. Absolutely. I was just devastated because that's what I was just so looking forward to doing.
Yeah. I mean, that was a bigger passion to you than baseball or any other sport, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Yes. You know, it was crushing because it's like, oh my gosh, no way. It's like my football career is over now. And it's like now it's hard to, you know, like I'm seeing double or having double vision and stuff. And, you know, it's like, I can't see clearly anymore out of this eye. It was just devastating.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Totally, totally understandable. And you know, you talked about, you know, your dad being angry at the coach for what had happened, and even the response afterwards, and you yourself. Any bitterness? Is that too strong?
No. I don't know. It was like I wasn't like so angry.
Yeah.
That. You know, it was like clouding my judgment or anything like that.
Yeah.
I knew my dad was angry. And so therefore I was angry. I think I was, I guess, following his lead.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then like, you know, later on, you know, as I got older, I start to realize like, wow, you know, he never said anything to me. He never visited me, nothing.
Yeah.
And that started to make me angry about that.
Yeah.
And I held that from, you know, what, like college?
Yeah.
Late high school when I started realizing what exactly had happened and what he had not done to, you know, apologize.
Right.
I started becoming angry.
Yeah.
And so, and I held that since then.
Yeah.
So what, that's 1980 till like now, or
so So what I love is I just love how God has a way of redeeming the things in our lives and even the difficult times. And recently, I want to say within the past year, you had a change of heart towards this coach that caused the accident and injury to your eye. And so I wondered if you can talk about that change of heart and what happened.
Sure. Yeah. I was doing my morning devotional.
Yeah.
And it talked about forgiveness. And I've read devotionals over forgiveness before, but it never spoke to me. But this one particular time, it did speak to me.
Wow.
And his image, his face came to mind, and I don't know what it was. It was like it touched me in such a way that I was just crying.
Yeah.
And wow. You know, I was like I said to myself, it's like, I forgive you for what you'd done, what you not visiting me, all that stuff. I forgive you for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. And I think you even mentioned that the thought that came to your mind was, this coach has to be suffering and hurting for what he did to a kid. So it was almost like God allowed you to see maybe what was going on in his mind as a result of this.
Right. Right. I mean, that's my thought was that that he has to be human. You have to be feeling guilty that,
yeah.
Oh my gosh, I caused this kid to get hurt.
Yeah.
Like maybe he didn't know exactly like how extensive the hurt was, but it was clearly obvious. I mean, I'm rolling around on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm bleeding, and so, you know. Me as a dad, if I saw that and realized I did that to someone else's kid, I'd just feel just crushed, just horrible.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. And so God, it sounds like God encouraged you to release the anger and the hurt, and somehow you were able to move on, right?
Right. Exactly. It was I just said to God, to myself, I forgive him. I forgive him for what he's done.
Wow.
And I thought about reaching out to him and stuff, and I tried, and then I backed out. And so that part I'm kind of still struggling with, dealing with right now.
Sure. Yeah.
But it's funny. Today it's so funny that. This morning, I mean, I was kind of thinking about, what I'm going to do, the Catalyst Stories. And and I was sitting by myself and I was praying. I was like, just God speak to me, talk to me.
Yeah.
And then as I started my devotional, it was again about forgiveness and love, wow. Loving one another.
Wow.
It was like, let me see if I can remember this. It was 1 John 4:11, and it says, dear friends, God so loved you that therefore you ought to love one another. Mm-hmm. And
wow,
it was like, oh my gosh, it's like validating what I was am going to talk about. Forgiveness, about forgiving him, and just, I guess, moving on.
Yeah. What was that like, Dan, the day you were truly able to forgive this coach for what had happened? I mean, because I'm just picturing that must have been such a freeing for you in some ways, but I don't know. I'll let you speak from your perspective what that was like to finally get that weight off your chest.
It was. It was like, I've been carrying it since when I fully understood what was going on was probably in high school. But I lived it every single day. I still live it now. Because I can't really see out of that eye anymore.
Yeah.
And so, but to forgive him it was like a huge weight lifted off my shoulders.
Wow. And, wow.
You know, I never really thought about it, just getting older and growing up and stuff. But, you know, when God revealed to me about forgiveness and forgiving him for what had happened,
yeah,
or reminding me of what had happened, mm-hmm. it's like, okay, wow, that's pretty heavy, pretty deep.
Yeah. If you had to speak to this coach today, if he was right here in front of you, what would you say to him?
I'd just say, you know, I forgive you. In fact, I think when you and I had met,
yeah.
I'd asked you, it's like, can I forgive somebody? And you had said, yes, you can. You can forgive him for what he had done, you know, because I wasn't sure, you know, gosh, can I forgive someone for I guess, sinning? But you said that I can forgive him for the act of what he had done. And that helped a lot.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Wow. You know, just my observation, it's so heartwarming and incredibly incredible that you had the openness and the ears to hear God speaking to you. And I know that's been a theme throughout your life and with your wife too, of hearing from God and then not only hearing from him, but being able to forgive him for what he had done.
Right.
And I just find that so incredible. So fast forward to the present time now. Last month, you were getting ready for work. I think you said you were brushing your teeth.
Right, yeah.
And God spoke to you, I think you said in your head, about why you had the eye injury. And so I wondered if you can share what God said to you and maybe take us through that morning.
Right. I, like you said, I was just like any other day, I'm brushing my teeth, getting ready for work. And I heard God saying, now is the time I will tell you why you are injured. Because you're injured because I didn't want you to play football. I have a family friend. He's part of our family.
Yeah.
Or was part of our family.
Yeah.
He's the brother of my brother-in-law. And he was just this outstanding football player. He played football when he was a little kid all the way through college.
Wow.
And
he's all American.
He's like
right?
an all American player. And he's just like just this short, stocky, super tough, like a fire plug. He was just built. And I admired him, and he would tell me about, you know, how he played and what he, you know, what he was like when he was as a player.
Yeah.
And I thought, wow, you know, that's the kind of player I wanted to be.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to just smash people. And that's what he loved to do was just smash people. He played offense and defense, and that's what I played was offense and defense. And, you know, I thought, wow, you know, I totally wanted to, I just imagined that's the kind of player I wanted to be. But God revealed to me that, the eye injury was the reason for you not playing football, because my brother-in-law's brother, he was a high school teacher. And he's been teaching for a super long time. And he also was battling alcoholism. And through the family, I come to learn that through football, he had a lot of injuries. He had like a lot of knee pain. In fact, sometimes they would say that he couldn't walk because it hurt so bad. And he also had like brain injuries too. And it affected his thoughts. And they believe that the alcoholism was spurred on because of the brain injuries, because he became really mean. So mean to the point that his wife kicked him out of the house. And so he was living in his car for a while on the streets. He lost his job as a teacher and just his whole life just spiraled just out of control.
Yeah.
And I remember it was a really short period of time from the time I found out that he got kicked out of his house and lost his job and stuff, it's like, wow. And then a few months later, maybe a year later, he passed away. And, you know, like, I later on, I've come to find out that, you know, he had all these injuries, and part of the injuries was brain injuries. And that's what God was telling me, was that's the reason why I didn't want you to play football, because, you know, that could have been you.
Yeah.
You know, I could have been like that guy.
Right. Because you wanted to emulate him and go out and smash people.
Exactly. Right. Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And I know back then, they didn't, CTE wasn't discovered then, but all the signs that point to see the change, the dramatic change in behavior, all the headaches and the things were very similar to some of the signs of CTE, I think.
Exactly. Right. Wow. I was talking to my brother-in-law about this before I came on the show.
Yeah.
I wanted to make sure I got his story correct. And I said, you know, tell me about him. You know, what was his life like towards the end? And he says, oh, he just became so mean. Just so mean.
Out of character.
Just out of, from so out of character.
The guy that you knew.
Right,
you
know? Exactly, yeah, yeah. So,
wow.
You know, they believe that, you know, that might have been what had happened to him, yeah. Was the CTE.
Yeah. You know, the amazing thing about your story that I find so amazing is that God revealed this to you, but it wasn't until after you forgave your coach for what had happened all those years ago. And I'm just wondering if since that time you've had a chance to process that, about if you think there's something to that of you know, almost like you getting to that point where you forgive your coach first, and then he reveals to you why this happened to you.
Right, right. Yeah, it's like, wow, okay, I see it now. You know, because, yeah, that totally could have been me. Or it could have been more serious than that. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, I could have, you know, had a neck injury or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just any number of things could have possibly happened.
Right. Right.
But yeah.
Yeah. I think of as you're sharing, Proverbs 16:9 comes to mind, and in the NIV, in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And it was almost like, you know, you had a plan for your life. The Lord says, no, I have something different from you, Dan. And you couldn't see it at the time, but in now, looking in the rearview mirror, it seems a lot clearer.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, so I want to ask you, what's the message you want to leave for those listening to your story, especially those that might also be going through disappointments and even dreams that were crushed? What would be your message to them?
My message would be just hang in there.
Yeah.
Persevere. You may not know why this happened to you.
Yeah.
And it may not know for like a long time. For me, it was like decades before God revealed to me why this happened.
Yeah.
But just have faith, just knowing that that there is a reason for all that you're going through.
Yes.
All that I was going through.
Yes.
There's a reason for that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Awesome. Yeah. Well, Dan, I just want to, first of all, as we close our time together, just thank you for so much for being here on Catalyst Stories and sharing how God is speaking to you and is present with you. So thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Thank you, John.
Yeah, and you know, as we close our time together, I just want to lift up a prayer of thanksgiving for your wonderful testimony and for our listeners as well.
Okay.
So yeah, let's pray. Yeah, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness to Dan all of these years. And although the pain and trauma from his baseball injury changed his life, it did not change the plan and the purposes that you had for Dan. And help us, Lord, during difficult times to draw close to you and ask what you're up to, knowing that your plans and purposes for us are the best ones. And help us to trust in you, just like Dan trusted in you. And I just want to declare Jeremiah 29:11 in the NIV over all of you listening. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And so thank you, Lord, for the future that you created for Dan, Lord. Thank you for giving Dan the strength and courage to forgive his baseball coach and for helping Dan to move forward. Lord, give us the strength and the mind of Christ that we might somehow be able to forgive as you forgave, knowing that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, which is Romans 5:8. And thank you, Lord, for protecting Dan against possible injuries that he very well could have sustained by going down the path that he was headed, for showing Dan that nothing is ever wasted, that you redeem everything in our lives, the trials, the things that seem unfair, the challenges that we face, and help us to seek and turn to you during these times that we won't miss the things you're trying to show us, especially your unfailing love that Dan talked about. And finally, I just want to declare Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes all things, not some things, all things, to work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And now, Jesus, may you use these testimonies in Dan's life to inspire all of us to become all that you created and called us to be in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dan. And that's it for today's podcast. Until next time, take the time to reflect on and share your God-given testimonies and see how God uses you to become a catalyst of encouragement and inspiration for others. God bless.